You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson here with our house DJ Tolliver, who I will remind our podcast listeners is only a DJ on the radio version of the show because, Tolliver, big music doesn't allow us to play music on the podcast.
Always
version.
Trying to hold me down, man. You guys are missing out on some EDM, some classics.
Well, Tolliver, we do have some new listeners this week on KTOO all the way in Juneau, Alaska, the capital of Alaska.
Oh my, I did not know that was the capital. Did you know I live Alaska?
You
though?
Did. You
know I live Juneau, Alaska?
Yes. Okay.
So sorry.
One more thing, by the way, Tolliver. There's a birthday today that we need to celebrate.
Really?
You hear that?
What?
Yeah. The middle is 6 months old.
Aww.
And that is a 6 month old baby sound
teething
that I found. Okay. All right. So this hour we're asking, do you feel a call to serve your country? We're going to be taking your calls at 844-4-MIDDLE. That is 844-464-3353 in a moment. But first, last week we were at Colorado Public Radio in Denver and we asked you what should be done to reduce gun violence in America. We got so many calls, so many voicemails, such a wide range of opinions. Here is just a bit of what some of you had to say.
Hi, this is Claire from Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, my name is Jason. I'm calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Hi, my name is Allison Aldridge. I'm calling from Highland Park, Illinois.
William from London, Kentucky. There is no easy solution. The problem is you're never going to stop all gun violence. That's like saying we're going to win the war on drugs. You can't do it.
The phrase in the Second Amendment, as part of a well-regulated militia, is conveniently forgotten by all the pro-gun people. Well-regulated, hello?
It's about education. If we're not teaching safety, then nobody's going to know safety.
The NRA has a stronghold that is extraordinary, and I would love to see responsible gun owners develop something to counter the NRA's impact.
Thank you so much to everyone who called in and left a message. So this hour, we're asking, do you feel a call to do some public service, to serve your country? That could be in the military, as a police officer, a firefighter, a teacher, an election worker. Tolliver, what is the number for people to call?
It's 844-4-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. You can also email us by going to listentothemiddle.com.
So let's meet our panel from Prince George's County, Maryland, retired Army Major General Linda Singh, former head of the Maryland National Guard with more than three decades of military service. General Singh, welcome to The Middle.
Thank you so much.
And from Las Vegas, Nevada, Michael D. Smith, who is the CEO of AmeriCorps. Michael D. Smith, welcome to The Middle.
Jeremy, thanks for having me.
So before we get to the phones, I want to hear from each of you because you both have really interesting stories of your own about getting into public service. And General Singh, I want to start with you. You got into the military at a young age because you were going through a very, very difficult time as a teenager.
That's correct. I mean, I joined the military at age 17 because I was homeless. I was a troubled teen, sexual abuse. Really didn't know what I was going to do to try to get my life back on track. And that's really hard when you're young. And I got the amazing opportunity to run into a recruiter in the mall for the Maryland National Guard. And this particular recruiter, I don't know why I looked like the, you know, the right person, but he, something made him stop me and have a conversation. And I had not considered the military. And I will tell you, it was probably one of the best choices that I made. And it's not so much because it was, you can't look at it as if it was a last resort for me, because I think there were other options. I just didn't understand the options available to me. But this gave me an out. It gave me a way to really get out of the town and the environment that I was in at the time. And it showed me what life could be like outside of the state of Maryland. So going to basic training was the first time that I had ever gotten on a plane. And so it really was an opportunity that opened up doors for me much broader than I probably would have had I just stayed where I was.
And did you find, and have you found in your years of military service, that there were others like you that got into it for the same kinds of reasons?
So, I mean, the stories are so wide and varied, but I think once I started telling my story, I found more people that connected to that story, and mainly because they may not have had the same exact path, but I think they, you know, we could connect. I think it was a way that you find other people that may not have had a voice. And so I start sharing my story that gives voice to a lot of folks that have a troubled past. But here's what I would say is now, you know, we see, you know, folks that join the military and they're coming in with, you know, these high level college degrees. And it's just a much different level of, you know, of service. Mm-hmm. And so what I would say is, you know, starting my service was the military, but I continue to serve in the community in a wide variety of ways today. And I think it's, for me, it's something that is very self-fulfilling, but it allows me also to contribute very, very differently to my environment, to my community, and to others that I just, you know, wouldn't do if I was just working my regular job.
What about you, Michael D. Smith? What was your first interaction with public service?
Well, I've been fortunate to build my whole career in public service or working in the nonprofit sector. And the reason for me was I grew up in a single parent household. My parents were both 16 years old when I was born. We were poor, not a whole lot of money, but we had this rich community. My mom sent me to my local Boys and Girls Club for what she said was cheap daycare. She just needed a place to put her kid. But what she didn't know she was getting is this village of people that loved and lifted up and kept her son in line. But it was also a place where I learned how to serve. And I didn't know it was service. You know, when we had the monthly food distribution for the seniors and they told me to go lift the boxes, I didn't know that's what we were doing. When we went down to the food pantry, I didn't know that's what we were doing. When we were raising money, I didn't know. But I loved it. And it was an opportunity to give back. It was an opportunity to build skills. Also, through my church, we did a lot of that work. And I learned at an early age that I loved it. I loved this opportunity to be of service to my community. And I looked up to the volunteers that I met. I looked up to the youth development staff that I met, and I wanted to be like them. And at a very early age, I decided, how do I create a career path that was about service? And I've been really fortunate to do that ever since.
Well, and now you're leading AmeriCorps, which has some 250,000 members and volunteers. Just for people who don't know, what is AmeriCorps? What is it that you do?
Well, AmeriCorps is the federal agency for volunteering and service. We have a simple mission. How do we strengthen communities, transform lives, and foster civic engagement through the power of volunteering and service? We're celebrating our 30th birthday this year since President Clinton signed the legislation to create AmeriCorps. And the idea was really simple back then. You know, it was, we'd never have enough money to pay all of the people to do all of the things that we need to address challenges in communities. But there is something that is in this unique American spirit where no matter how much money people have or little money they have, we want to take care of each other. We want to help each other out. And there are some people that are willing to give a year, give 2 years in service to their country. And so fast forward to 30 years, we now have about more than 200,000 AmeriCorps members, senior volunteers serving in 40,000 locations. You may have heard of Public Allies or City Year or Teach for America. Right. Those are all AmeriCorps members. Those are all AmeriCorps grantees. So we enable folks that want to do long-term continuous service to make a difference in their communities.
Let's get to the phones. And Gerald, who's in Detroit. Gerald, welcome to the middle. Go ahead. Do you feel a call to serve your country?
Well, I do, and I did. I have 28 years in the Air Force as an Air Force navigator. I joined initially just to fly, and I wanted to be a pilot, but my eyes weren't good enough. But as I went along, I found out that service to our country is the best thing. And I've long had a theory that we founded this country on religious freedom, and yet when the Catholics showed up in Massachusetts, they were not allowed to stay. So that's how we got Rhode Island and so forth, and we moved in. People kept on moving to the West Coast, and now we got to the Pacific Coast, and we have to figure out how we're going to get along.
Do you think your military service and people that serve their country, do you think it fosters unity?
Yes. No, I mean, right. When in the military, you find that you have to work as a team, and that's one thing, especially as flying. Everybody has a specific job, and it could be the lowest person on the crew rank-wise. But if he or she sees something wrong, they'll call the shot and the crew will have to respond. Mm-hmm. So I think talking to a lot of friends, the polarization that exists in our country today, I think, in my opinion, if I were king, I'd make everybody right out of high school spend 2 years in public service or join the military. And if they were going to go to one of the military academies, definitely they would have to go into the military mm-hmm. and learn what it's like to be down at the lower levels. But it teaches you that everybody puts their shoes on the same way, skirts, mm-hmm. pants, whatever.
Yeah.
It may look different, speak a different language, but you get along because you learn you have to work as a team to save each other.
Gerald, thank you so much for that call. And I'll go to you, General Singh. On the question that Gerald just brought up about a mandatory year of service or 2 years of service for every American, what do you think about that?
Well, a number of years ago, I actually testified on this particular topic. And I do believe that getting everyone to have this level of service. And it doesn't necessarily have to be military service, because I think most of the time when we talk about service, it's always towards the military. I would like to see where we do institute this level of service. And, you know, everyone should have to do it right out of high school. And, you know, we already ask our high school students to do this level of service. Well, now, why not continue that and deepen that to a level that it's going to help them to learn some more leadership skills, management skills, mm-hmm. how you can actually work in the community to uplift the community. And I think when you start bringing in those types of pieces and then having them, you know, kind of launch their careers, it's going to give them more than just, okay, mm-hmm. well, this is what it was like to, you know, kind of serve my community. It's going to give them an idea as in what their purpose is, right? So we really, you know, want them to start very early on and start figuring out where can they actually drive purpose.
You know, Tolliver, these days public service is voluntary, but it has not always been that way.
Yeah, Jeremy, in 1940, President Franklin Roosevelt instituted the draft. Mm. Keep in mind, this was a year before the U.S. formally entered World War II after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Here is FDR.
It is a program, obviously, of defensive preparation, and of defensive preparation only. To the 16 million young men who register today, I say, the democracy is your cause.
Wow, chilling to hear that right now.
Yeah.
By the way, if you haven't already, please go to listentothemiddle.com and make mm-hmm. a contribution, tax deductible in any amount, to the middle. We're trying to raise some money mm-hmm. so we can keep this show going beyond its 1 year birthday, which
exactly.
will be in 6 months.
Come
That's
on.
listentothemiddle.com.
Give us some training wheels. You
Thank know? You so much. And we'll be right back with more in a minute.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you're just tuning in, The Middle is a national call-in show. We're focused on elevating voices from the middle, geographically, politically, and philosophically, or maybe you just want to meet in the middle. This hour, we're asking you, do you feel a call to serve your country in the military, as an election worker, as a volunteer? Tolliver, what is the number to call in?
It's 8444-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. You can also write to us at listentothemiddle.com or on social media.
I'm joined by retired Major General Linda Singh, formerly head of the Maryland National Guard, and AmeriCorps CEO Michael D. Smith. And the phones are lighting up. So let's go to Michael, who's in Layton, Utah. Michael, welcome to The Middle. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Jeremy. Yeah, my name is Michael Lambert, and I'm running for office for the first time. I'm just north of Salt Lake in Davis County, and I'm running as an unaffiliated candidate for Davis County Commissioner. And I gathered a bunch of signatures, spent several weekends, lots of weekends and evenings trying to gather signatures to qualify to file as an unaffiliated candidate. And I believe bipartisanship, and that's why I'm going that route. And I obviously have to get elected, but I just want to be involved. I've got a young family and want to influence things in our community. So that's what I'm doing.
So you're not scared about how dirty politics has become to get into that profession?
Yeah, I am a little scared, but it feels meaningful enough for me to try. I care about certain issues enough, and I care about the world that my kids are growing into. And I'm a social worker, so that's been my career. And so I've been working more on micro levels, but I believe in the power of macro level impact. And and I think it's worthwhile, despite some of those less appealing sides of politics. Yeah.
Well, Michael, good luck to you, and thanks for that call. And I'm going to go to Michael D. Smith about the question of people who are going into public service, whether it's politics or whether it's volunteering. Are you having any issue right now recruiting people that want to do work with AmeriCorps?
Well, we're excited that there's always folks that want to serve. One of the things that happens with AmeriCorps is whenever the job market is great and unemployment is low, it's a little harder, right? Peace Corps used to have a slogan that was, it's the toughest job you'll ever love. So hard when Meta and Google and everyone is trying to offer you signing bonuses to say, come make next to nothing and work harder than you've ever worked before. So it has been a little challenging with the job market, but we are seeing incredible trends. And one example, we run President Biden's American Climate Corps, which was just launched. And we have found that in the first 6 weeks of that opportunity being out on the street, 50,000 people expressed interest in signing up. So while it may have been challenging in some moments, it's moving in the right direction. And when we find a connection to issues that this next generation cares about and pathways to careers, the doors are being thrown wide open and folks are running in.
What about the military, General Singh? I saw that recruitment has been down in recent years. In 2023, the Army and the Air Force fell short of their respective goals by around 10,000. The Navy was down by 6,000. What's going on, do you think, in terms of recruiting people to go into the military?
Well, I mean, I think it's the same thing that Michael mentioned, right? Like, we're starting to see where we're competing against all of the large employers. We're competing against government. it's not just military where we're seeing things trending down. It's, we're seeing it also in public service, like government service. And so I think, you know, the challenge that we all have right now just across the country is really trying to get more people interested and in maybe even more people that are qualified to go. And I think that's the challenge for the military, is that we find that a lot of folks are not necessarily qualified to even go into the military. And the biggest issue they have has to do with weight and the way that they live. And so we have to get back to really helping our young people think about exercising and eating well and being a little bit more physically ready to go into the military. And then for some of our males, we're also finding that they're getting into trouble. And so if you get, you know, certain types of violations early on, you're not going to be able to necessarily qualify for all of the different places that you'd like to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, just looking at our pre-qualifications is huge.
Michael, I know that you all have a variety of programs that you're running in AmeriCorps, but like, is there a profile for the kind of person who typically signs up for AmeriCorps?
Sure, but I would love to weigh in into this conversation. We've actually been working closely with the Department of Defense and the Selective Service. There was this National Commission on National Military and Public Service, which was launched in 2016. Recommendations came out in 2020 saying we needed to work better together. So we actually just signed an MOU with Selective Service saying, hey, we're talking to a lot of males who maybe will never see a draft, fingers crossed, but you can serve your country. So come think about AmeriCorps. And hey, all of those kids that are being turned away from military service, we'll take them. Mm-hmm. And so we are figuring out a way to work together to say national service is honorable no matter what way you do it. And so we're trying to help each other out. Tolliver, in terms of your question, you can be an AmeriCorps member if you are 18 or 80, and I meet with them all of the time. If you care about education, if you care about health, if you care about climate, we've got something for you. The traditional AmeriCorps member that's doing the year or two of service tends to be lean more female, tends to be somewhere between that 18 to 24-year-old range. But we see folks coming in at all types. Obviously, there's time of life. Younger, you have a little bit more time. You have your family, you have less time. And then you get a little older and you have more time to give again.
Let's get back to the phones. And Marty, who's in Jacksonville, Florida. Marty, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Hey. So for me, I volunteer, you know, with the community, always have for years. But when I think about getting myself involved in like local government, that type of thing, not interested, mainly because of, you know, what I see. We don't really have the same goals. So, I mean, I was a registered independent until they done away with the independent party in Florida. So I guess, you know, no party affiliation, but it's politics just really seems very catty, and I can't, it's like nobody's getting anything done unless it's their party that is, I don't know, nobody can reason. I don't really like that. So, I mean, I hate to sound pessimistic, but I don't really see anything worth getting involved with.
Well, like, what kind of volunteering do you do?
Two major parties. I'm sorry?
What kind of volunteering do you do?
Oh, so I volunteer with the community. I'll work with the youth, and I do some homeless volunteering. So I've done that for many, many years. I received a Presidential Volunteer Service Award a couple times. So I do a lot of that. But as far as, you know, I do want to be involved in politics, but I'm nervous. It makes me nervous because of the clickiness with it, and it seems like we wouldn't get anything done. We wouldn't get anything accomplished.
Marty, thank you for that. Michael D. Smith, I actually want to ask you about politics because you've mentioned a couple times the Climate Corps, which is one of President Biden's initiatives. I can just imagine on some media in this country that that would be made as a total joke, that that you have to deal with. And I know you've had to deal with Republicans who want to defund AmeriCorps to some degree. They haven't been successful in doing that. But what about the politics of volunteering and civil work?
You know, you can't win everybody all the time, but AmeriCorps is proud to have strong bipartisan support. You know, when there had been times, for instance, where the previous administration wasn't the biggest fan of AmeriCorps, it was Republicans in Congress who saved the agency and actually allowed the budget to grow. After Hurricane Katrina, we had 40,000 AmeriCorps members that were in Louisiana and Mississippi for 10 years. Some of our biggest champions were Republican governors and mayors in states where they saw AmeriCorps members showing up. And so there's excitement. You know, some folks don't like the word climate, but they care a whole lot about conservation. They care a whole lot about wildfires. And so when the folks show up in their community making a difference, then politics goes out the window. And we find all the time, like when you're rolling your sleeves up and you're doing something to solve a problem in your community, it allows you to see each other's humanity. And so we know that service unites. And I think that's why we've been so fortunate to have such strong bipartisan support.
Let's go to Joseph, who's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Joseph, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. So I am one of the young people who keeps, I guess, kind of getting mentioned. And I will say that, I guess me and my peers, at least, sort of do feel a draw to service, but it's not necessarily in sort of a traditional way. I think that, there are certain underlying health issues that draw young people away from the military as well as other things. But I think there's also kind of an ideological disconnect that hasn't really been said yet, where, a lot of people from my generation, many people who I've spoken with, feel that, the U.S. military really doesn't act in the interest of the American people. And so why would I devote my time to serve an organization like that? And so a lot of the service that I see happening, I study and work in kind of fields related to environmental design. And I think that a lot of what's going on, and it's really exciting, is people serving the country in kind of new ways, engaging with communities, and sort of helping us to do the work to survive the, 50 to 100 years where our environment and our climate is going to change, and all of this, could, for all we know, become irrelevant.
Joseph, I want to take your thought there, because you made a pretty strong statement there. I want to take it to General Singh. What do you say to that, General Singh, that Joseph and feels that he and his peers don't believe that the military is serving the American people?
Well, I mean, so I think it takes really all types of individuals to find out, what is going to really draw their attention. And when you think about the military and what we're doing, I mean, we are serving on behalf of the people very differently. And I think it's challenging for individuals that have not really had to make these hard, tough decisions about whether or not we go to this country or whether or not we get involved in the next, war or the next conflict. I think it's really, really hard to kind of just do the broad statement to say that we're not fighting on behalf of the American people. It is really, the things that we do, not just in the military, but even, some of the crazy politics that is out there, right? Like our crazy politicians. It is the fight that we are trying to do to ensure that we can remain a free country. And so whether we kind of agree on that, that level or not, but it's also the young people who are doing their duty in very different ways, right? Like just, like he mentioned, that they're out, taking care of things very differently. We need that as well. So we can't really say that everybody has to fit into this one cycle. Mm-hmm. What I would just love to see is people just continue to serve in what they're passionate about, and then allow that to come through, because that's what makes our country what it is.
Let's go to Christopher, who's in St. Petersburg, Florida. And again, our number is 844-4-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. Christopher in St. Petersburg, welcome to the middle.
Well, thank you for having me. About 12 years ago, I graduated college and I tried to join the Navy. They were going to have me be like a submariner. I wanted to be like an astronaut, but I couldn't do that. So being underwater seemed like the closest thing. I ended up not being able to actually join because I have a spine, like a herniated disc. And so I didn't pass the medical exam. So another way that I think that I found to be able to serve, is I went and I taught English in Japan for a little while.
Hmm.
And I know that's not quite the same as like military service or something like that. But it did give me an opportunity to spread, at least I think anyway, like American culture, and sort of making that cultural connection between You know, and I was in rural Japan too, so it was like I was the first like white person that anybody had seen there, and it was pretty awesome to be able to share that. Like, well, this is how things happen in America compared to Iwadeshi, Japan. And so that's sort of my call to serve the country, if you want to call it that.
That's great. Christopher, thank you for sharing that. Michael D. Smith, your thoughts on that. I'm sure that you've talked to a lot of young people who have done exactly what Christopher has done.
Service comes in many different forms. We actually have something called the Harris Wofford Award, who is named for the person that was both the CEO of AmeriCorps and helped create AmeriCorps and helped Sergeant Shriver create Peace Corps. Says we have a lot of folks that serve in both Peace Corps and AmeriCorps. People who have a heart of service want to serve. I was just with someone who was in the Air Force for 30 years and now is now serving as an AmeriCorps member here in Nevada. And so we love it. Go serve your country, serve through the military, serve abroad, serve in Peace Corps, serve through AmeriCorps. It is all service and it is all honorable.
Let's get another call in here. Charles is in Houston, Texas. Charles, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Thank you for having me. Excuse me. Myself, I am a member, currently a member of the United States Navy Reserve, 23 years of service, are currently at the rank of Lieutenant Commander. Come from a family of those who have served in uniform, father, relatives, other extended relatives. Currently, my oldest son is a member of the Texas National Guard. And also, while he attends college, he's also a member of the Army ROTC. But just to say, I think a caller that was a little while ago that said that he doesn't see how the United States military is serving the American public. However, I would say that the military is not for everyone. However, service is. And he, as well as anyone else, just needs to find that fit. And I think the general had mentioned that earlier, but everyone just needs to find their fit and find a way to serve at whatever level that they can find.
Mm-hmm. Charles, thank you. And thank you for your service. And I also love when one caller talks about what another caller said. It's the beauty of live radio. General Singh, your thoughts on Charles.
No, well, so yes, thank you for your service. And I think what we're also hearing from Charles is that he has a family of service. And we're starting to see that we don't have those traditions a lot, right? Like I didn't come necessarily from a family of deep, deep service, at least not from my parents' side. And so having that connectivity, I think, is what you also typically see where a family, you know, kind of generational going into the military. And we would love to see that a lot more. But just the whole thing of service, that to me is the underlying piece, right? Like, how can you serve? Mm-hmm. If that means going out and volunteering it, you know, whether it's with AmeriCorps, Peace Corps, Easter SEALs, going down to your local soup kitchen. Yeah. And literally, if you just want to go out and pick up trash along the side of the road and you know, have the name out there, right? Like, that is service.
You know, Tolliver, one thing that we have seen recently, it's kind of disturbing, is an effort to go after ordinary people who serve the public as election workers.
Yeah, listen here to Ruby Freeman, who was an election worker in Georgia in 2020 and was targeted by people including Rudy Giuliani, who was ordered to pay nearly $150 million for defaming her.
I can never move back into the house that I called home. I will always have to be careful about where I go and who I choose to share my name with. I miss my home, I miss my neighbors, and I miss my name.
Wow, powerful. Yeah. By the way, 3 out of 4 election officials say threats have increased in recent years, and 1 in 6 has been threatened. That's according to a survey from the Brennan Center for Justice.
It's so, so awful. Mm-hmm. We will be back with more of your calls in a minute on The Middle.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We're asking you this hour, do you feel a call to serve your country? You can call us at 844-4MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. We're joined this hour by AmeriCorps CEO Michael D. Smith and retired Major General Linda Singh, former head of the Maryland National Guard. Before we go back to the phones, one of our listeners, Paula from Cheyenne, Wyoming, sent us a voice memo about her call to public service. Take a listen.
I have felt the urge many times to serve my country. I've really been doing that since I got out of graduate school when I went in the Peace Corps for 3 years. Then I came back and I taught. But recently I've been feeling the urge to do something locally. So I have looked into Teach for America, not usual for a person who's been teaching for 30 years in a school district and overseas to do something like that. But I just think that the only way to make our country better is to try to raise critical thinkers and have people that will see things from more than one viewpoint and try their hardest to have that inspiration to improve the country as well.
I love that she sent us that while walking. Michael D. Smith, do you see a lot of that career professionals going back later in life to volunteer in that way?
Yes, we've actually seen certainly more of it during the pandemic. We were actually just with Congresswoman Chrissy Houlihan from Pennsylvania, who is a veteran. And when she was 45 years old, she decided she wanted to do more in her community. And so she became a Teach for America AmeriCorps member. And so you do see these sorts of things happening all the time. We're here in Nevada for our tribal nations gathering and visiting some other sites. I was with three AmeriCorps members today who are in their 30s and above, who have children and families and are using AmeriCorps as an opportunity to either help them with their education or change career paths. And so it's a great opportunity. Paula, do it. Become a Teach for America AmeriCorps member. It will help you, and you'll get a little additional money for school, and it will be great. You won't regret it.
All right, let's go to the phones and Janice, who's in Barrington, Rhode Island. Hi, Janice. Welcome to The Middle.
Hi, thanks.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello. So I'm calling because I was the executive director of a nonprofit in Providence, Rhode Island for many years. And for, 15 years at least, we had an AmeriCorps program. And I am a huge supporter of AmeriCorps, Mr. Smith. But I do want to point out that the burden on the administrative end of running a program like that in an organization is tremendous. And the organization has to commit to a rather large burden of reporting, of, you know, so there's that I think it sounds like, oh, free volunteers. Well, no, it isn't free volunteers. It is not.
Janice, thank you. Michael D. Smith, the administrator, the red tape. Do you hear about that a lot?
Janice, I wasn't expecting to hear that on the middle, but I'm glad that you love AmeriCorps. It is something that we've hired our first ever chief modernization officer, and we are working hard to modernize this 30-year-old agency and make it simpler. We are a federal agency. We have an inspector general. There have to be background checks. There are checks and balances. So it's you know, if you're a tiny little nonprofit, maybe not starting with AmeriCorps. That's why we love to see a lot of cities. They serve as an intermediary and then disperse AmeriCorps members to different places. A lot of universities play that role as well. So that's a good way to start if you're a small nonprofit, while we work hard to make it simpler and easier for folks that want to administer AmeriCorps programs.
Let's go to Derek, who's in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Derek. Welcome to the middle.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I think this is a really great conversation, and I am one of the people that actually has been or tried to be a part of both sides here. So I come from a very strong military family. Everybody, at least on my dad's side, was Navy, and I had also applied for Peace Corps during my college years. And so I tried to participate in both of those and, you know, ultimately decided that my best contribution to my community was to do what I'm interested in and what I'm good at, which is doing the research. And about 15 years later, now I'm doing research to help craft legislation at the state level and feel really, really good about that. I mainly called in because I wanted to say that there is a very, very strong need and desire amongst millennials, Gen Z, to participate and to contribute and to be a part of this national ethos that, you know, likened to the John Kennedy speech. And if it's not military, if it's not Peace Corps, I think we need some sort of return to that to provide options beyond those two things, because I do feel like there's a very strong need to participate. And thank you.
Derek, thank you so much. Linda Singhi brings up millennials, Generation Z. Do you notice a generational difference in terms of willingness, let's say, just to join the military?
I mean, there's a huge difference today versus when I came in. And I don't think people realize how long ago that was. But when I came in, it wasn't too long after women were allowed to actually join the military. And so I think, you know, just the mindset is completely different. But what I love, because I work in the community all the time with a multi-generation of types of individuals. But what I love is the thinking that I get from our young people. And, you know, working beside them in different types of organizations, whether it's at the state level, because I do state level, I'm, you know, still engaged supporting military, still doing nonprofits. And so what I love is just looking at their energy and when something excites them and they really, really engage, we get like infinite possibilities from them. And that's, it just makes me smile, because after spending a week with a bunch of entrepreneurs, and it just really is reinvigorating to be able to see that.
Let's go to Gabrielle, who's in Chicago. Gabrielle, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Thanks so much. And actually, I'm really excited by what was just said. I have led a number of nonprofits and worked with young people for decades. One of the things that troubles me sometimes is that when we talk about service, I think we often overlook the role that youth organizing and organizing outside of these formal structures is really playing to essentially make our country better. So whether that's Standing Rock or here in Chicago, a group like Good Kids, Mad City, I feel like sometimes the structures we have, which are so critical, like the ones we've been talking about, miss the opportunity to also recognize and partner with organizing that's happening on the ground. And I think that's all the way from teens who organize protests or what's happening on college campuses. And so I just would love to have us think about service in terms of maybe it's through formal structures, but if we care about service, how might we connect these structures and incorporate the informal work mm-hmm. that's happening through youth organizing? And thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you, Gabrielle. Michael D. Smith, your thoughts.
Look, I think this country only works with a good, strong inside-outside game. You're going to need people that are trying to reform the system from the inside, and you're going to need people that are holding up a mirror and forcing and demanding change from the outside. You're going to need a Nelson and a Winnie. You're going to need a Martin and a Malcolm. And so all of that is valuable. And I think we only see the progress that we want to see when you have both of those forces working together.
Tolliver, some people are writing in online at listentothemiddle.com.
Absolutely. Tony in Illinois says, as a first-generation American, getting drafted helped me feel like I belonged. The discipline required positively affecting my life thereafter. But I would say there are a great many powerful people who fear the power of the people, and so they actively work against universal military service. They'd rather we concentrate on working for them and making them rich. Mm. Scandalous.
General Singh, do you think that the all-volunteer force, of course, nobody's going to say they want the draft right now. I guess actually maybe some people would say that they want the draft, but do you think that the all-volunteer force works in terms of making sure that we have a diversity of people, economic diversity, all kinds of diversity of people going into the military and serving their country in that way?
Absolutely, because when we look at the all-volunteer force, we get people from all shapes, walks in life, gender, background. And I think if we look at still how the legislation is structured for draft, we would not get that, right? So the draft still is not focused on drafting women, per se. So as long as we have the all-volunteer force, it allows us to be able to get the best talent and, you know, from every single community. And that's what I think is the biggest thing. I think if we don't stay in that direction, my fear would be is that we start becoming our grandpa's army. I mean, or Navy or Air mm-hmm. Force, right? So.
Brendan in Kankakee, Illinois, is with us. Hi, Brendan. Welcome to the middle.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to echo some of what's already been said about getting involved and organizing, because it was stated that MLK Jr. was a great servant, and he was calling for the change of a lot of systems. So in my opinion, it seems that getting involved in movement organizations and getting involved in community organizations locally is the most important thing you can do to make a positive impact in the world.
Are you involved in community organizations?
Yeah, I don't want to go into specifics, but I organize, and I've just seen that in every city across the country, there's already going to be these organizations and other nonprofits as well. That you can get involved with, but you also have to be careful with nonprofits because they kind of focus on getting more grant money, and there can be that can sort of limit some of our ability to build power.
Brendan, thank you for that. And I will say, by the way, I now know how difficult it is to get grant money. So I totally respect people that have to do that for a living. Let's go to Mark, who's in Houston, Texas. Mark, go ahead. Welcome to the middle.
No, fantastic program. First time caller. I just wanted to share that I came from a family and generations who served their country. My grandfather served in World War I. My uncle served in World War II. My dad served in the Korean War. And I served in the Gulf War as a United States Navy submariner. And just want to let you know that had an influence, a bearing on me serving my country. And I also want to let you know that I served in the AmeriCorps VISTA after I got my MBA.
Wow.
And now I work for a federal agency that helps small businesses called the SBA. And I just wanted to share those comments. Wow. And I'll stop there.
Well, thank you for a lifetime of service, Mark. That's awesome. Michael D. Smith, what about the sort of generational thing that he brings up there, families that get into the military and then that continues on through the generations, and then even he goes into AmeriCorps Vista at a later age?
Well, Mark, thank you for your service. Thank your ancestors and generations before for their service. We see this all the time. We've got 15,000 veterans that are serving today as AmeriCorps members. And in turn, we're serving about 250,000 veterans and military families. So when there's a heart of service, it just keeps reciprocating. And what I love, too, about what you said with Mark speaking to one of your other callers, AmeriCorps Vista is a way where if you don't want to do direct service, if you love research and evaluation, if you love marketing and fundraising and communications, you can be an AmeriCorps member that's helping to build capacity and not necessarily being on the front lines doing direct service. But yeah, Mark demonstrates this generational thing that we see all the time. Thanks, Mark.
I think we have time for one more call, and I'm going to go to Paul, who is outside Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Paul, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Hi. You're squeezing me in. Thank you so much. Great conversation. When I graduated from college in 1970, it was Vietnam or the Peace Corps. And for me, that was an easy decision because I wanted to see the world without a gun. And I became a teacher, came home, got a teaching certificate. And I've been involved in nonprofits and hunger, poverty. Now I just got back from D.C. where we lobby Congress once a year for Peace Corps reauthorization. And then I go back in June with the Citizens Climate Lobby working on climate solutions, bipartisan, bringing people together in the community is where it all starts. And, you know, Peace Corps talks about the domestic dividend, like what happens to volunteers when they come home. Most of 86% of the studies say that they stay very engaged in their community. So it's a big conversation.
Hmm. Well, thank you very much for that call, Paul. We squeezed you in there. And Linda Singh, by the way, did you ever consider going into the Peace Corps instead of into the military?
I didn't even know. Okay, so I grew up in the country. I didn't grow up in the city. And maybe you can say that I had a very small mind at that point. I think I really did. And so my universe only was, you know, what was in front of me. And so I didn't even learn about the Peace Corps until much later. But I was part of the Youth Conservation Corps very early on. I spent a summer with the Youth Conservation Corps. And so I just think sometimes it's a matter of where you come from and what you're exposed to. And what I love about this conversation is I think we've talked about so many different things in terms of service. It's helping people to see that you can really find a place to serve anywhere, whether it's government, military, with AmeriCorps, Peace Corps. There's so many places.
Yeah. Michael D. Smith, actually, I wonder, you know, as you listen to these calls coming in, I'm sure you talk to people all the time who are volunteers, but anything surprise you in the calls that you've heard this hour?
You know, I just think it reinforces what I already know. Spending, you know, we're headquartered in Washington, and you've spent a lot of time with folks that are feeling concerned about the state of the American democracy and how polarization. And I tell folks all the time, come on the road with me. And when you see the rubber hitting the road, Americans get tougher when the going gets tough, and they take care of one another. And so, you know, the general said it. I AmeriCorps, I think it's like a Cheesecake Factory menu. We've got something for everybody. And if you want to come in and get involved, we can figure out a way to put your talents to use in service of our country.
Well, the thing that we like to do at the end of the middle, just in case the topic got too heavy, is to bring Tolliver in for a quiz for our guests. So now we have a one question quiz for both of you. Tolliver, the floor is yours.
I'm still thinking about the Cheesecake Factory. Okay, so according to census.gov, which state has the highest rate of volunteerism and civic engagement? Illinois, Nebraska, New York, or Utah?
Either one of you.
We run that study. So
I
know the answer to that. So okay. General, I'll give it
General,
to you.
Illinois, Nebraska, New York, or Utah, General Singh, what do you think?
Oh, I'm going to, because I haven't looked at the study, so I'm going to say Illinois.
And Michael D. Smith, the answer is?
It's Utah.
It is.
They love to volunteer in Utah. They do. I was just there. Okay. Well, I want to thank my guests, retired Major General Linda Singh, who led the Maryland National Guard. Her book is called Moments of Choice, My Path to Leadership. General Singh, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jeremy.
And also AmeriCorps CEO Michael D. Smith, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Tolliver. Thank you, General.
And Tolliver, I am so excited about next week's show.
Yeah, me too. Next week, we're joined by none other than astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. He'll be with us for the hour answering your questions on space, the final frontier. Just days before a total solar eclipse that will be visible in much of the United States, you can call us at 844-464-3353 or write in at listentothemiddle.com. And while you're there, sign up for our newsletter. Come on.
And The Middle is brought to you by Longnook Media, distributed by Illinois Public Media in Urbana, Illinois, and produced by Joanne Jennings, Harrison Patino, John Barth, and Danny Alexander. Our technical director is Jason Croft. Our theme music was composed by Andrew Haig. Thanks also to Nashville Public Radio, iHeartMedia, and the more than 410 public radio stations that are making it possible for people across the country to listen to The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Talk to you next week.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.